Today is the second day of December. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back. How are you? Welcome back to the global campfire where there is room for everyone. No matter what we are coming into or what we are coming out of, there's this safe place for us here to warm ourselves and to find comfort and rootedness in the scriptures together in community. So today, as always, like a commemorative day, it's my dad's, it would have been, it is, I guess, my dad's birthday. And obviously, I wouldn't be here anyway doing this, were it not for him and his legacy, and teaching me so much. He did not live a long life, so I have exceeded him, actually. He's been gone 25 years now, but I don't know, as any of you who have lost those that you loved, you know that maybe the ache goes away and everything, but the memory and the love doesn't. So, thankful, grateful, which is something I'm trying to practice every day of this 20th year and beyond. So grateful today to be here with you and to have that memory. So let us dive into the territory that is before us, the next step forward for today, which does indeed lead us right to the exact place that we left off, and that is in the book of Daniel right now. Today, Daniel chapter 9, verse 1 through 11, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, who was of Median descent, and who had been appointed king over the Babylonian Empire, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, came to understand from the sacred books that the number of years for the fulfilling of the desolation of Jerusalem, which had come as the Lord's message to the prophet Jeremiah, would be 70 years. So I turned my attention to the Lord God to implore him by prayer and requests with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God, confessing in this way: O Lord, great and awesome God, who is faithful to his covenant with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned. We have done what is wrong and wicked. We have rebelled by turning away from your commandments and standards. We have not paid attention to your servants, the prophets, who spoke by your authority to our kings, our leaders, and our ancestors, and to all the inhabitants of the land as well. You are righteous, O Lord, but we are humiliated this day. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far away in all the countries in which you have scattered them, because they have behaved unfaithfully toward you. O Lord, we have been humiliated, our kings, our leaders, and our ancestors, because we have sinned against you. Yet the Lord our God is compassionate and forgiving. Even though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the Lord our God by living according to his laws that he set before us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has broken your law and turned away by not obeying you. Therefore you have poured out on us the judgment solemnly threatened in the law of Moses, the servant of God, for we have sinned against you. He has carried out his threats against us and our rulers who were over us by bringing great calamity on us. What has happened to Jerusalem has never been equaled under all heaven. just as it is written in the law of Moses, so all this calamity has come on us. Still, we have not tried to pacify the Lord our God by turning back from our sin and by seeking wisdom from your reliable moral standards. The Lord was mindful of the calamity, and he brought it on us. For the Lord our God is just in all he has done, and we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with great power and made a name for yourself that is remembered to this day, we have sinned and behaved wickedly. O Lord, according to all your justice, please turn your raging anger away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For due to our sins and the inequalities of our ancestors, Jerusalem and your people are mocked by all our neighbors. So now, our God, accept the prayer and requests of your servant and show favor to your devastated sanctuary for your own sake. Listen attentively, my God, and hear. Open your eyes and look on our desolate ruins and the city called by your name. For it is not because of our own righteous deeds that we are praying to you, but because your compassion is abundant. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Don't delay for your own sake, O my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. While I was still speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my request before the Lord my God concerning his holy mountain, yes, while I was still praying, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen previously in a vision, was approaching me in my state of extreme weariness around the time of the evening offering. He spoke with me, instructing me as follows. Daniel, I have now come to impart understanding to you. At the beginning of your requests, a message went out, and I have come to convey it to you, for you are of great value in God's sight. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. 70 weeks have been determined concerning your people and your holy city to put an end to rebellion, to bring sin to completion, to atone for iniquity, to bring in perpetual righteousness, to seal up the prophetic vision, and to anoint a most holy place. So know and understand. From the issuing of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, until an anointed one, a prince, arrives, there will be a period of 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will again be built, with plaza and moats, but in distressful times. Now, after the 62 weeks, an anointed one will be cut off and have nothing. As for the city and the sanctuary, the people of the coming prince will destroy them. But his end will come speedily, like a flood. Until the end of the war that has been decreed, there will be destruction. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of that week, he will bring sacrifices and offerings to a halt. On the wing of abominations will come one who destroys, until the decreed end is poured out on the one who destroys. In the third year of King Cyrus of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was also called Belteshazzar. This message was true and concerned a great war. He understood the message and gained insight by the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 whole weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine came to my lips, nor did I anoint myself with oil until the end of those 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, I was beside the great river, the Tigris. I looked up and saw a man clothed in linen. Around his waist was a belt made of gold from Uphaz. His body resembled yellow jasper, and his face had an appearance like lightning. His eyes were like blazing torches. His arms and feet had the gleam of polished bronze. His voice thundered forth like the sound of a large crowd. Only I, Daniel, saw the vision. The men who were with me did not see it. On the contrary, they were overcome with fright and ran away to hide. I alone was left to see this great vision. My strength drained from me and my vigor disappeared. I was without energy. I listened to his voice, and as I did so, I fell into a trance-like sleep with my face to the ground. Then a hand touched me and set me on my hands and knees. He said to me, "Daniel, you are of great value. Understand the words that I am about to speak to you. So stand up, for I have now been sent to you." When he said this to me, I stood up shaking. Then he said to me, "Don't be afraid, Daniel, for from the very first day you applied your mind to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. I have come in response to your words. However, the prince of the kingdom of Persia was opposing me for 21 days. But Michael, one of the leading princes, came to help me, because I was left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to help you understand what will happen to your people in future days, for the vision pertains to days to come." While he was saying this to me, I was flat on the ground and unable to speak. Then one who appeared to be a human being was touching my lips. I opened my mouth and started to speak, saying to the one who was standing before me, "Sir, due to the vision, anxiety has gripped me and I have no strength. How, sir, am I able to speak with you? My strength is gone and I am breathless." Then the one who appeared to be a human being touched me again and strengthened me. He said to me, "Don't be afraid, you who are highly valued. Peace be to you. Be strong. Be really strong." When he spoke to me, I was strengthened. I said, "Sir, you may speak now, for you have given me strength." He said, "Do you know why I have come to you? Now I am about to return to engage in battle with the prince of Persia. When I go, the prince of Greece is coming. However, I will first tell you what is written in a dependable book. There is no one who strengthens me against these princes except Michael, your prince." And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood to strengthen him and to provide protection for him. First John 2:18-3:6. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have appeared. We know from this that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. Because if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But they went out from us to demonstrate that all of them do not belong to us. Nevertheless, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you that you do not know the truth, but that you do know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the person who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This one is the Antichrist, the person who denies the Father and the Son. Everyone who denies the Son does not have the Father either. The person who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, what you have heard from the beginning must remain in you. If what you heard from the beginning remains in you, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. Now this is the promise that He Himself made to us: eternal life. These things I have written to you about those who are trying to deceive you. Now as for you, the anointing that you received from Him resides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, it is true and is not a lie. Just as it is taught you, you reside in Him. And now, little children, remain in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame when He comes back. If you know that He is righteous, you also know that everyone who practices righteousness has been fathered by Him. See what sort of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called God's children, and indeed we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Dear friends, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that whenever it is revealed, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope focused on Him purifies himself, just as Jesus is pure. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. Indeed, sin is lawlessness. And you know that Jesus was revealed to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. Everyone who resides in Him does not sin. Everyone who sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Psalm 121, A Song of Ascents. I look up toward the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth. May He not allow your foot to slip. May your protector not sleep. Look, Israel's protector does not sleep or slumber. The Lord is your protector. The Lord is the shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day or the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all harm. He will protect your life. The Lord will protect you in all you do, now and forevermore. Proverbs 28:27-28. The one who gives to the poor will not lack, but whoever shuts his eyes to them will receive many curses. When the wicked gain control, people hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. Okay, so as we walk this journey of faith, even as we walk this year in our journey of faith, everyone has opportunity to ask questions of the faith and of the, like, of life. And that is to doubt what we think that we know. What has led you into doubt? if we're honest, a majority of the unrest, a lot of times, comes from how things work out. Like we think we are surrendered to an outcome or to the will of God, and yet we have expectations about what that's supposed to look like. We have recipes and formulas for how this is going to play out, and we speak these words of authority and all kinds of little formulas because we have a certain set of expectations, and when those go unmet, well, that is one of the ways that we wander into doubt. And that's kind of a complicated topic that we really can't unravel completely here today. Because all of us have we have a gut. We have a brain and we have a gut, and they work together. And so there are definitely things in our nervous system that will go, wait. I doubt the information that I'm being given. Or I doubt the safety of the situation that I am in. And that is a God-given thing. But in terms of our faith, a lot of times, unmet expectations are what lead us into places that we have to consider. Because God hasn't done what we asked Him to do. Or the formula didn't work. Or it's taking too long. Or we are in such pain and confusion because of what has happened to us that we thought we were going to be protected or safe. And so here we are, even though we have a lot of examples of these kinds of things in the scriptures, we find ourselves in kind of a no man's land for a moment. Maybe a better way to look at it is we find ourselves in the wilderness for a moment. A lesson is to be learned in the wilderness as we continue forward toward a promised land. So that leads us into discontent and eventually into any number of things, which then guides us towards deception. And once we are open there, then the flame of faith is easily snuffed. And so some people walk away. Just completely don't continue to press into whatever is going on and into the doubt of it, but instead give up and surrender and walk away from faith and walk away from God. And once that happens, then they become often anti-God. And that's what we're reading about in 1 John, lest we think this is a new phenomenon. This has always been going on. So John says, dear children, this is the last hour, and you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many Antichrists have appeared. And that's how we even know the last hour has come. These people left us, but in the end, they never really belonged with us, or they would have remained. And when they did leave, it proved that they didn't belong with us. So the apocalyptic worldview of the early church, which we have discussed, we have to discuss it if we're going through the entire Bible. Especially if we're going through the New Testament, because it touches everything. So it plays heavily in contextualizing the scenario that John is describing. But why did some of these early believers leave, shrink, give up, walk away, and become anti-Christ when it seemed as if the end was near? Unmet expectations. They came to faith being told about the imminent arrival of Jesus' return. and establishment of his kingdom on earth, with good news of eternal life and good news that the law of God had been fulfilled, and through Christ we can be made righteous. So this is a ground floor opportunity in the kingdom of God. Instead of those expectations being met, they received ridicule. They were betrayed. They were marginalized. They were slandered. They were persecuted. And even in the face of that, being told that this is a time of purification, the expectation was that there would be some kind of suitable timeline. And when they grew weary enough, they abandoned the faith when they realized that suffering and endurance were the long game in the story. And man, that is no less true. No less true today. So in this stew that has formed the early church in the Roman Empire, in the Jewish subtext of the Roman Empire, following Jesus, many teachings were being developed around his message and around his ministry. And there were questions that took sometimes centuries to work out, and that eventually got worked out in church councils later. Questions like, what is the true nature of this being called Jesus, who is divine, who is also human? Is he human? Is he God? Is he both? How does that work? All these things are being explored, and different versions of original ideas and teachings were all over the place. And that created confusion, as various conflicting teachings can do. It invites wrestling. But if a person's just not willing and embraces confusion, then confusion is what we get, and doubts. So John is trying to clearly communicate the deepest, most basic, base, essential, core, foundational truth that he's got in the Christian faith, aimed directly at the doubt and confusion plaguing many of the faithful. And he does it in the clearest terms possible. And we should kind of catch on to this, even in our own wrestling in faith. John kind of lays out this formula that is key and core to Christianity. Anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an anti-Christ. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either. So John isn't instructing his readers to stop asking questions of their faith, as if that's even possible, or to stop trying to grow in their understanding of the faith, which we all should be doing. He's reminding them that the truth they heard from the beginning hasn't changed, regardless of what is swirling around, and that was causing confusion. To embrace the confusion is to enter into deception. To wrestle with things is to grow. So finally, John says this, why is he bringing this up? He reminds us of something essential and available that will always guide us in our wrestling and in confusion. He says, I'm writing everything down here to warn you about people who want, are trying to lead you astray. not trying to wrestle beside you, not trying to embrace what's going on and place it in context so that we can be strong and endure together, but who wants to lead you astray. You have received the Holy Spirit, and He lives in you. So you don't need anybody to tell you that. You don't need anybody to tell you what's true. It's inside of you. The Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what He teaches is always true. It's not a lie. So just as He taught you, remain in fellowship with Jesus. Like that's 1 John 2:24 through 27. Like that. He's going to a very basic clarity. It says, as you wrestle, as you are confused, as you doubt, as you grow, you cannot forget these essential things. The Spirit of truth is in you. And it's like incredibly good news for we who believe, who seek to strengthen and grow. Especially when we're going through things we cannot possibly understand and never, ever saw coming. So let's remember today that first of all, as it comes to expectations, God owes us nothing. We owe Him everything. If there are expectations, it's that we might serve Him faithfully. And let's fully embrace what John the Apostle is saying and remain faithful to the fact that the Spirit of truth is in us and gives witness to what we were given from the beginning. And then, when we're faced with the wrestling, we can remember why we're walking the path. Because like we pray nearly every day, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will lead us into all truth. So, Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit of God, we invite you into the places of wrestling, confusion, doubts, unmet expectation, marginalization, betrayal, persecution, everything that comes flying at us out of nowhere sometimes. We invite you into it, and we awaken to what John has said, to remember that you are in us. The truth is in us. And we go searching in this world and lead ourselves into deception and confusion when the truth is in us. And so, Spirit of truth, lead us into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. And this is where you can find out what's going on around here. It's Christmas time all around the world. So it's Christmas time here around the global campfire. And we're celebrating. Celebrating our 20th Christmas around the global campfire. So each year, it's our custom to bring out a Christmas box filled with goodies for the holiday season. And this is this very special Christmas box. And our brand new Daily Audio Bible boxes. We can't wait for you to see. We worked hard on all that. The Christmas box this year is really a celebration of what God has done over the 20 years. So there are two full bags of fresh roasted coffee. One, the Christmas blend, which is a chocolate hazelnut. And secondly, the 20th Anniversary Reserve Southern Pecan. These are both fantastic flavors for the holiday season. Whether that's just for your morning cup, or whether you're serving it at a dinner party, perfect, perfect for the celebration. We also have the Daily Audio Bible. We created this commemorative box with a very specially designed commemorative coin with a very specially designed metal card, numbered card for the coin. And so each of these boxes are numbered. They are one of a kind. They are the only ones that will ever exist. And they have our mission statements in there, and they are beautiful. And they are genuinely a piece of the history here. And the history is that for 7,305 days, by the time we get this done this year, the Daily Audio Bible has brought the scriptures every single day, 7 days a week, which has made the Daily Audio Bible the longest running daily podcast or program in history. Now, this is a piece of that history, so I have a piece of that history. If home is around this global campfire in some way. Also, every year in the Christmas box is the annual Christmas ornament with the word of the year, and so we've been doing that for many, 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 many years. I love seeing the pictures that you send in of all of your different ornaments from all the different years hung on your tree. We do that too. This year is the 20th anniversary, so it's a very, very special ornament, the word of the year having been safe. So you can see that as well if you go to the Daily Audio Bible shop. And yeah, just check out the Christmas box. On the web at dailyaudiobible.com, just click shop. Or if you're using the app, click the drawer icon in the upper left-hand corner, and you'll find the shop in there. And check it out. And thank you. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, where the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And thank you. Thank you deeply with deep, humble gratitude for your partnership as we come to the close of this year. If you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Shalom, shalom, Daily Audio Bible. This is Dwayne from Wisconsin. All praise and glory to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is November 28th. Fearfully and Wonderfully Made would like us to pray for son Nick, who apparently is coughing, is a smoker, and she has concerns of what that may be. So Lord, we place Nick into your hands, and we pray that it is nothing serious and that you would use your healing hand and take care of this cough for Nick. And also, she would like us to pray for her sister Terry, for her faith. So Lord, we ask that you would touch Terry's heart. Planco County D.A. Beer would like us to pray for son who quit drinking alcohol and is cured of rheumatoid arthritis. We give praise and glory to you, Lord, for this. He would like us also to pray for his daughter and daughter-in-law who are both pregnant. Lord, we ask that you be with these young women. We pray that everything will go well, that they will be safe and healthy and have healthy deliveries. Brian, you want us to continually pray for son Mitchell. He has, I believe, a court date coming up. We want to be with that and continue to pray for your son, Mitchell, and all that is encompassing that. Keisha called in, would like us to pray for her niece, Shanna, who's 17 years old. She was rushed to a hospital. We pray everything is well in that situation. Lord, we ask for your healing hand. the Badger from Washington would like us to pray for her daughter who's taking a test. I assume she already took that. We pray everything went well. And your other daughter who is looking for work, we pray that she will find work and that both your daughters will draw closer to our Lord and Savior. Learning to trust in the UK, you would like us to pray for your daughter, Shanta, who has abnormal cells. We place that into our Lord's hands. We lift this all up to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, and God bless.
Hi, my DAB family. I would like to pray for some of the men in our Daily Audio Bible family. I would like to start off with our brother, Anonymous, from California. He's been so faithful, and I just wanted to tell him how much we love him and how much I am praying for you, as I know many of us are praying for you, for whatever you stand in need of physically. And I know you went through some marital issues. I am praying that you are doing well and that we love you. I want to pray for our brother Brian from Huber Heights, always praying for his children, his wife Kathy. And I want to tell you that we are continually praying for your family, my brother, and for you. Also, for our beloved Matt, who is the father of the unborn baby, Caleb. I want to tell you, my brother, I was so encouraged last week when I heard a sister praying about her granddaughter. And I know that God is so faithful, and he is taking care of Caleb. I'm praying for you and your wife. God bless you, my brothers. I will continue to call to pray for the men of our family.
Hi, my name is Tom in North Carolina. I wanted to reach out to what I heard on a drive back down from Pennsylvania the other day about a gal reaching out to Maranatha Matt about his son, Caleb, diagnosed with the diagnosis of a genetic condition known as tetrasomy or trisomy 18. I wanted to encourage you that while the heaviness of that diagnosis may feel like God has shaken your world upside down, God has blessed you with a human being that will show you unconditional love, and you will not know it from anybody else on this side of heaven. Your child will give you unconditional love, and God has blessed you. My daughter is Misty. She is 26, going on 27, with a diagnosis as well. And I want her to say hi and happy Thanksgiving.
I want to say something. I need prayer for my job. So if you can pray for me. If you can.
My daughter is about to get a job at 26, the first job. God has a lot going for you. Have a blessed Thanksgiving.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I am a little behind on the prayer request line. I just finished getting up to date, and so I wanted to wish our sister Rebecca from Michigan a happy belated birthday. And thank you for that wonderful word that you gave us on your birthday. Many more. I also want to bring and pray for our brothers and sisters, those that have been calling, interceding, and asking for prayer, for loved ones and friends that are going through cancer diagnoses or treatment or ailing. Oh, Father, I thank you. I thank you because you are the divine healer, God, and sometimes the way we pray for healing might not be what you want, but it'll be perfect. And I pray for the loved ones and the family members that are suffering and hurting, and for those that are in the midst of their storm of diagnoses. Please be with them, oh Father. Thank you. I pray for our sister Susie from Colorado, for the children that are in Haiti. I continue to pray that they would be protected and kept from hurt, harm, and danger. I thank you for being so devoted to these children. May God richly bless you. For our brother, Anonymous from California, that he so faithfully prays for all of us, I pray for you, my brother, and for our brother Brian from Huber Heights, for your son. We continually keep him in prayer. For Dwayne from Wisconsin, who is always praying for our children, I pray for you. And to all of you, I listen to your prayers. I don't want to forget our sister Sadie M., who is struggling with this new job as she's